Welcome to another episode of Software Gone Wild, a podcast in which we discuss real-life network programming and SDN solutions that engineers use in production networks. I'm Ivan Pipelnyak, and you might know me from my blog at ipspace.net. And with me today is David Barroso, a networking engineer responsible for network design and operations at Spotify. When we met a few weeks ago, he mentioned that he's using Ansible to automate the hardware deployment in his network. And obviously, I had to invite him to the show to share his experience with us. How are you today, David?
Hello, Ivan. I'm fine. Excited to be here with you.
Now, as I mentioned, when we were discussing what you're doing at Spotify, you said that you're responsible for everything, for network design, for operations, you're on call, you're the architect. That's totally different from what a typical enterprise networking department would be doing. So how do things work at Spotify?
Yeah, at Spotify, basically everybody does everything from support tickets from other teams to be part of the on-call, to design operations, everything is done by everybody.
By the way, for the three people who haven't heard about Spotify, what are you guys doing?
At Spotify, basically, we built a music streaming service. So basically, you can launch your application on the desktop, on your phone, tablet, on the browser, and play any music you want, share your favorite songs, playlist, get recommendations, discover new music, basically everything related to music.
So you're Netflix for music.
Yeah.
How did you get to work at Spotify? What did you do in your past lives?
Well, I've been working in the network industry for almost 12 years now. I started working on a small IT company where I was doing almost everything that could be done, from going to the data center to configure any kind of network appliance. I was even building firewalls and routers with Linux boxes. Almost everything. Then I moved to the service provider space where I was building large multi-tenant data centers and cloud environments. And yeah, one thing led to another. And now I'm here at Spotify.
And at Spotify, you are a heavy user of network automation. Is this the first time you encountered network automation, or did you use it before?
I've been using network automation before, although I wasn't really responsible on the network automation by itself. I mean, there was a development team which was working on it. They were using from SSH to Netconf to whatever was available. The problem with decoupling the network team with the development team is that there was a lot of miscommunication there. So sometimes we had some small outages because of the program doing not what it was supposed to be done.
And I guess that has been resolved with a DevOps approach that you use at Spotify, right?
Yeah, basically we do all the prototyping inside the team with Python, and then if something has to be put in production with more seriously, then other people takes the prototype and build it properly.
Oh, that's a cool idea. So you actually, so you are also a programmer. You can write Python code.
Yeah, I actually do it.
Or shall I say, you and me, we are more like coders. We can write low quality Python code.
Yeah, I can do that.
And then when the prototype is ready, when you say, okay, this is the Python code that does approximately what I think needs to be done, someone takes it over and they turn it into a polished product that is then safe to use in production.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's a great idea. I mean, that solves so many problems that we are discussing today. Thanks for that. Now, you told me that when we met that you have this large set of switches in individual data centers linked with WAN connectivity over the internet. Can you tell the listeners a bit more so that they'll have a better understanding of why you decided to automate the deployment of the hardware in your network? So how big is the whole thing?
Yeah, well, we have four data centers across the globe, and each data center is between 2 and 500 network devices. So basically, you need some sort of automation to be able to manage and deploy that amount of devices. We have an internal joke at Spotify that says that basically everything that is 6 months old is already legacy. So we are always iterating over the network, over the services, over everything. So we keep improving stuff. So basically, you need some sort of way of making sure that all of the devices are up to date. And yeah, all of these data centers are also interconnected. We use the one connectivity for it. And to be able to interconnect them in a secure way, we have a set of boxes that that build IPsec tunnels. So every time that we have that we increase bandwidth within these sites, we need to deploy a new set of devices because it's the only way. Every box is only able to do X amount of gigabits per second of IPsec traffic. So all of this deployment is basically automated also. And using the WAN has another challenge, which is that you usually hit some congested links over the internet and TCP throughput just dramatically drops. We have also a set of scripts that is able to divert traffic from these broken tunnels every time we detect them.
So you effectively had to build a scale-out architecture of this IPsec termination devices because you just couldn't buy bigger devices, right?
Yeah, that's correct. The biggest IPsec tunnel that you can build is, I think it's 7.5 gigabits per second. So basically, you want to go beyond that throughput, you have to be able to scale out.
Oh, I think you should talk with Luke Gorey and the other people who are developing the Snap Switch. They might have some crazy ideas how to get beyond the 10 gig. But okay, let's leave that for another podcast.
Okay.
And then as you have this scale-out farm of IPsec tunnel termination devices, then if I understood you correctly, you measure the performance of individual links and can dynamically shut down the devices that are traversing the congested parts of the internet.
We don't actually shut the devices, but what we do is they all talk BGP. So basically, when we detect a tunnel that it's broken, we set a community there to instruct the rest of the sites to stop using that tunnel. So if we later detect that tunnel is actually behaving again, we can re-enable it.
So you're effectively changing the BGP configuration, or are you playing with dynamic changes to BGP updates?
No, we change the BGP configuration. We apply a new policy, so we set the community.
But that is done automatically by the script.
Yeah, the script is triggered by a human. Though we are working now on actually triggering the script by the monitoring itself, but so far the monitoring tells a human that something is broken and the human triggers the script.
So effectively there is a human somewhere in the middle, but he's not doing anything else but reaching the decision that this thing has to be taken offline.
Yeah, correct.
So there's no way that he could misconfigure BGP by pasting the wrong configuration into the device or anything along those lines.
No, he could though miss the device, but not the configuration itself.
Okay, so yeah, he could shut down, well, not shut down. He could apply the BGP configuration to the wrong device, but he cannot apply the wrong configuration to the right device.
Correct.
So that's one part where you use the network automation. Any other part of your network that you have automated?
The other part that is automated is all the config deployment, which is where we use Ansible.
Ah, interesting. So what are you doing there? How are you using Ansible to automate the configuration deployment?
Well, with Ansible, basically we have two playbooks. One of them is to upgrade the switches. So this playbook will upload the configuration to the... Well, first it will put the device in maintenance mode. So it will set the overload bit on SPF and modify BGP to do some AS path prepending. And then it will upload the the new image that we want to run, and then finally we'll upgrade the device and reboot it. This is one of the playbooks we have. The other playbook we have is just the configuration deployment playbook, which basically builds the entire configuration for a switch and sends it to the device, and the device takes the configuration file and replaces the running config with the new config.
So if we stay with the first use case you mentioned for a moment, because I'm always upset at what vendors call graceful shutdown, which is in many cases just tearing down a TCP session instead of ignoring the incoming packets, or sending an OSPF hello with no neighbors instead of using the max LSA bit like you're using, or ISIS overload bit, which is the same thing. So you effectively implemented a real graceful shutdown, and you're using Ansible to deploy that on the switches.
Yeah, correct.
So to step back a little bit, not everyone in the networking world knows what Ansible is. So can you give us a brief overview of what this magic tool is all about?
Yeah, sure. Ansible is just it's an automation tool similar to Puppet or Chef. The main difference with Puppet and Chef is that this Ansible is totally agentless, which means that you don't need a client on the devices. And this is very good for the if you are working in with the network, because basically you can use anything that is already available to you, like SNMP, SSH, XML, JSON, whatever it's in the devices already.
Okay, so in Ansible, you have a server, and that server does something, and you don't need an agent on the device like you would need with Puppet or Chef, right?
Yeah, correct. Ansible basically has the concept of playbooks. A playbook is just like something that you want to accomplish. For example, we had before, we were talking about the upgrade device and the deploy configuration. So this playbook then has small actions on it. So each action can be just trigger a script. This script can do anything. So if you have a REST API to connect to your devices, for example, you could trigger the script to connect to the API and launch all the commands that you want.
Okay, so effectively, the Ansible playbook is then just a set of things that need to happen.
Yeah, correct.
And you, as the guy using the Ansible, have to program what those things are and what will happen when Ansible uses or starts those things.
Yeah, there are some actions that you can find on the internet already. For example, Juniper has already some sort of Ansible client, to say it somehow. It's not a client because it's just a library that you can load on Ansible, but I mean, you get a lot of things for free there. And I think Tisco has also something, although I'm not sure. Probably Arista also has something, but if it's missing, you can actually do it yourself. It's very, very, very easy.
So if you want to program, let's say, ZX Spectrum, and you cannot program it using, let's say, JSON or NetConf, and the manufacturer is out of business, so you cannot get the module from them. So you can write your own module for Ansible that would then communicate with this ancient device and configure it in whatever way you wish, right?
Yeah, basically you could connect, for example, to that computer via serial port. For example, you could write a script to connect to the device via this serial port and use expect to do whatever you wanted to do.
Oh, that would be nice for managing some UPS devices, for example.
Yeah.
And if you have to develop this script on your own, what language do you have to use?
With Ansible, you can use anything you want because all the communication is done via JSON. So basically, you could use Java, Perl, Bash, anything you want. I'm personally using Python because I think it's very simple to develop using Python, but you can actually use everything you want.
So between Ansible and your module, the two of them have to speak JSON. And then, of course, you need the JSON decoder and encoder on the other end, but it can be in any language.
Yeah, correct.
So you are not limited to, like in some other tools, where it's best if you use Python to program the modules for them.
No, the only thing is that, for example, for if you're using, you want to use Ansible, you get for free all the templating mechanism. For that, you can use, well, you have to use Jinja too, if you want to use what it's already in there. But that's the only thing. The rest, you can use anything you want.
Okay, so if you want to use the templating that is, let's say, built in their playbook language, if we want to call it that way, then you have to use whatever language they used to implement the playbooks, right?
Yeah, which is Jinja 2, which is de facto standard for Python.
Okay, I trust you because I have no idea what you just told me. But I'll insert a link in the show notes for people who want to figure out what that is.
Yeah, that's very interesting because basically, if even if you don't want to automate your network because you are scared or because, I don't know, your company policy doesn't allow you to do that, and at least you can actually build all the configuration automatically, so you only have to copy-paste.
So if you start trusting Ansible and you decide that now is the time to start pushing these configuration snippets down to the devices automatically, how can you do that with Ansible?
Well, as I said before, you can use any mechanism that is already available to you. You can use SNMP, SSH, any REST API that is available on the device. On my case, for example, I'm using the XML API that the switches that I have in the network is providing me.
Okay, so I guess that you just told us which switches you use, but we'll ignore that information. There is like one company that has real XML interface to their switches.
Yeah, and to be honest, it's a very good interface.
Well, that narrowed the options even more. Okay, so when you had to implement that link, did you have to write the netconf code yourself, or was there already a netconf module for Ansible that you could just plug in and start using it?
We are using, for Python, there is already a netconf module. So basically, you only have to implement the code that you want to send, which is basically the XML text.
So somehow you have to generate the XML configuration, and then you already have in Python the netconf library that would connect to the device, push the XML over, check the status, and report to Ansible whether it succeeded or not.
Yeah, we generate all the XML configuration using the templating system that you have embedded on Ansible, and then we use this netconf client on the netconf library on Python to push it to the device.
Ah, so you effectively generate the XML document with the template.
Yeah, correct.
So you have these two playbooks. One is for shutting the devices down or putting them into maintenance mode. The other one is for generating the device configurations. Did things just work the way you designed them, or did you have any challenges, drawbacks? Did you have to implement any weird clutches or workarounds?
Well, with the switches we already have in the network, everything is working as we expected. As I said before, the XML interface that these switches provided are very, very good. However, we are working now with other vendors, and it's not working that well. Most of the APIs available on the market, they are just like wrappers to the CLI. And the CLI, we know that most of them are just broken by design. If you are working in the CLI and you try to copy-paste like 100 commands, you know that at least 10% of them will fail because of typos or whatever. So if you just try to move that to an API, you are going to have exactly the same problems. So yeah, that's mainly the main challenge that we are having right now.
Okay, now that you mentioned multiple vendors, How do you solve the fact that different vendors use totally different APIs, or if you configure one with pure XML, the other one expects text configuration in XML envelope, and the third one expects JSON API calls? How do you sort of build an abstraction layer that allows you to work with devices from different vendors without rewriting everything you did in the past?
That's actually simple. Basically, on Ansible, you define all the variables that you need for the network, like IPs, SNMP servers, syslog servers. Everything is defined as variables on Ansible. And then when you want to build, for example, when we are working with a vendor that requires an XML, we just prepare the template with all the XML code. We put the variables on the template itself. And then when we have another vendor that requires JSON instead, for example, we will build the equivalent template, but in JSON with the same variables. So then when you are executing Ansible will know with another variable the type of device that he's connecting to. So we know, this device requires an XML interface, so we'll use the XML template. This other device requires the JSON template, so I will get that template. And the rest is just filling the variables.
So effectively, you start by defining what service you want to have. In your case, it may be a new device or shutting down a device. Then you define what variables you need or what parameters you need in that service. And then you define the templates that generate the configuration for this service for vendor A, vendor B, vendor C.
Yeah.
So effectively, you built your own vendor abstraction layer.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, what we are aiming now is to replace all of the troubleshooting how-tos that we have on the network to actually run them from Ansible. So we don't care about the type of device or the number of devices. So I just want to check that all the devices have the network that we expect. So just execute this Ansible playbook and get the output directly, no matter the type of device.
So you would use Ansible to perform the basic troubleshooting, like check the OSPF neighbors, check that the links are up.
Yeah, for example.
How would you do that in Ansible?
Well, in Ansible, each action is just a script. Well, it can be a script. So basically, I would just develop a script to connect to the device and execute the XML or JSON code to get this information. And then I can just format it somehow for humans and print it on the screen.
So you would effectively define the JSON interface between your tool and Ansible. And then within your tool, you would connect to the device in whatever way the device supports, extract the information, and send it back to Ansible in standardized format.
Yes.
Sounds like a great idea. Now, with all the work you did on Ansible and automating things, do you plan to open source any of that?
Well, I guess we will be open sourcing some stuff soon. I don't know when exactly, because this is in early stages, which means that there are still some bugs and it's not very nice code. But I guess that we will be doing that at some point.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is because I'm seeing a lot of people doing very similar things, and it looks like you're all working on solving the same problem and more or less reinventing the same wheel. So it would be great if someone could open source his initial code as the starting point for some community project where, you know, we would stop reinventing the same wheel over and over and over again.
Yeah, the way I see it is that Ansible provides me the framework. The rest are just very small and simple scripts that help me to do my job. But to be honest, if you could see the scripts that I'm talking about, they are very, very, very simple, like maybe 20 lines of code. It's not really that rocket science.
No, it's not rocket science. I totally understand that. But still, you know, for someone who is not familiar with Ansible, getting to those 20 lines of code is non-trivial task.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything else you would like to share with us, your experience on Ansible, or what are your plans to use it somewhere else in your network?
Well, as the plan for Ansible is just try to build some sort of CLI so we don't have to actually connect to the devices, just execute stuff via Ansible. And yeah, I don't know exactly what we will be doing there because there is so much stuff that you can do. But who knows?
So you'll start using Ansible in almost the same way as TailF is using their NCS to provide the CLI to the operators, where they can use some high-level abstract way of saying, hey, device, tell me how you feel, and you will generate the printout.
Yeah, we're still far from there, but that's the direction we are heading.
So if people are interested in this line of thinking, where can they find you? Where can they find more about what you're doing?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at dbarrosop, which is spelled as dbarrosop, although I'm not really active in social networks, I'm afraid. About Ansible, you can find a lot of information on their webpage. Their documentation is very good. You can find it on docs.ansible.com. And if you try to Google Ansible plus your favorite vendor, I'm pretty sure you will find a lot of information.
Thank you very much for joining me today, David. I'm Ivan Pipelniak, and you can find me at ipspace.net or as at iOS Hints on Twitter. And whatever we've been discussing today, you'll find the show notes and links and so on at podcast.ipspace.net, where you'll also find a subscribe link if you want to follow the podcast. For more information on SDN, visit ipspace.net/SDN, where you'll find more or less everything you need to get your SDN project going, from SDN-related podcasts, webinars, workshops, consulting services, and so on. And finally, if you like the show, please do tell a friend or leave a review on iTunes, and don't forget to follow us at podcast.ipspace.net.